Hey, Justin here with Stay at Home Dad's Podcast. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this wonderful place where I talk about the many different aspects that go on in my stay at home dad life. Things with my kids, my family, how to be a better father and a better husband. I talk about men's mental and physical wellness, parenting struggles I have, success stories as well. I also talk about parenting tips, life tips that I have, that I come across, that I read about and see online and experience with other people. I share those with you as well. And lastly, just random things that I think about, things that I find interesting, and things that really make me ponder different things in the parenting and fatherhood world, I come on here and I share with you. So I hope something in there entertains or educates or maybe just prompts you to be a better husband, a better partner, and a better father. But anyways, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for joining me today. All right, so what do we got going on? My wife and I, we just got back from Texas. My wife had some work meetings down there, so, you know, I decided to do what any unemployed stay-at-home dad would do and hang out with her for a little while. My mother-in-law graciously volunteered to watch the kids, so yeah, took a little getaway trip to Texas, hang out with the wife, do a little exploring, check some things out, and wow, I must say, honestly, Texas was great. You always hear about people, you know, talking about it and moving there and everything else, and I was impressed. There were so many nice people and honestly really welcoming people, which was actually kind of a surprise to me because I figured with all of the out-of-staters moving into Texas and the Californians moving to Texas, I thought they may be a little bit bitter in that area. But, you know, the people we met were not at all. They were very nice and very welcoming. We went down to the whole Magnolia Farm thing, the Magnolia, what do you call it? The fixer-upper people, you know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know. We drove down to Waco, checked some stuff out down there, and we met with some people there. People we didn't know. We just sat at a picnic table. They invited us to sit down, and they just started chatting us up, and they were hanging out and enjoying the nice weather and the nice food and the event that was going on, and we talked to them for a while. And then in another place, we drove to another town, and we were just looking at houses and just having some fun. And we were talking to a couple of realtors, and then all of a sudden these two people walked in, and we started talking to them about not necessarily moving there, but we just talked to them about their house and their experience, and they were very welcoming and very nice, and they showed us their lot that they're buying a house and where they're building it, and they walked us through a construction model of their house, and they were super nice, and It was a good experience there too. And then we were leaving and we were in the airport, and my wife, of course, it's security. She got pegged for security for something in her carry-on bag. And even the TSA guy. Now, TSA people get a lot of flack for just being kind of miserable, right? And just being the Debbie Downers of the airport. And this guy was not at all. He was super nice. He was very friendly. Asked us what we were doing and what we checked out, and you know, we were telling him, and he was like, oh yeah, if you guys ever want to move to Texas, you know, we would love to have you. He was just a very pleasant person as well, and it was just an overall nice experience. So, you know, Texas hospitality, is that a thing? I think it's a thing. If people don't say it, I think they should, because we had a great time. Now, why were we in Texas? Or why would I go there when my wife was there for work? Like, what purpose was that? Well, we've been kind of talking about visiting other places, my wife and I, just going to random places around the country for a couple of reasons. A, to have a good time, to just see stuff, see different places, go to these places that are kind of easy to get to. I mean, people talk all the time about how much they'd like to travel and all these places they'd like to see. But in their mind, traveling, quote unquote, traveling is only when you go to those so-called vacation destinations. At least I think, you know, Hawaii, Mexico, Europe, or the Caribbean, stuff like that. But hey, you know what? there's plenty of places to see right close to home that are much cheaper to get to, that are, you know, a stone's throw away, a flight away, a drive away, that are in our own backyard to see and to visit and to experience. And B, the other reason is, yeah, maybe one day we're going to want to move. Maybe one day we're going to want to get out of this terrible Indiana climate and go somewhere else. Well, we don't want to go into it. We don't want to go into a decision like that blind, essentially. So we figure, hey, while we can, let's go and we'll visit places that maybe we would like to live or at least check out. We can either cross them off the list as like a hell no, or we can be like, you know what? Hey, this wasn't bad. This was a pretty nice place. We like this. Let's leave this option open. So that's kind of the reason behind this whole deal. Now, are we moving? No, we're not moving. We're not looking to move. We're not trying to move out of state or anything like that. But, you know, like I said, we just want to be prepared and experience other places and see what's out there. Now, this whole travel thing got me kind of thinking, just like this one aspect of traveling. And like I said, people talk about traveling all the time. I went and looked on my phone. I actually had a saved article on an episode I wanted to do about what people regret when they're older. When they look back from, you know, when they're 70 or 80 and they look back to when they were younger, what do they wish they had done? Or what do they wish they accomplished when they were those younger years, right? Well, what's usually at the top of that list? What's, in my mind, what's usually right there? It's travel, right? It's travel. People are like, oh, I really wish I went to Europe. Oh, I really wish I traveled. I wish I saw this or that, right? People, more often than not, tend to regret not seeing more places, not seeing what the world has to offer. They kind of just get stuck. Maybe stuck is the right term, in their little bubble. They just work and go through their schedule, and they never get to see what they really want to see. And they never get to experience the world the way they thought they would have. So that's kind of what I'm going to go into a bit today. Aside from me just waxing on about Texas and blabbing too much, let's try to shift our mindset, see what some of these elderly people regret not doing when they still could have, and see if we can not have the same regrets that they have when we're their age. Does that sound good? Sounds pretty good to me. All right, so before I get into some of this information, what do you think is, I don't know, like what are some of the top four, top five things you think people regret? Before we get into this article and what I'm going to talk about, I already said travel. I think travel is going to be number one, number two, something like that. But what do you think some of the others are? So just think about that, ruminate on it, and see what you think once we go through this stuff. So the first article I'll mention is from today.com. It's How to Live Life Without Major Regrets, Lessons from Older Americans. It's a few years old, but I still think it applies today. I mean, not much changes. You know, when you get older, you still regret the same things people did 10 years ago. So, Carl Pillemer, a gerontologist, someone who studies mental, physical, and social changes in the aging population. And you know, I guess I learn something new every day, because I have never in my life heard of a gerontologist. So, sounds like a person that studies old people. So there you go. Anyways, he's had tons of conversations with older people, and a lot of them had the same thing to say, that they can't believe how people waste their time with petty fights, with resentment, with worry. Well, he interviewed 1,500 people over the age 65 about what haunts them the most about their life choices. He actually also has a book out. It's called 30 Lessons for Living. Figured I'd give him a plug since I'm using him in this article. But yeah, check out the book. I might actually check it out too. So anyways, here are the top 8 regrets that those 1,500 people had. Number 1, not being careful enough when choosing a partner. You know, I did not think about that one, but I guess it's a good one. The older people said This is one of the most important decisions a human can make, and they believe that many people don't do this careful enough. You know, now that I hear it, yeah, I agree with it. Even though this wasn't on my radar, it's true. I think people rush into this way too fast, almost like a knee-jerk reaction, and I think a lot of people just have the attitude that, well, if it doesn't work out, then we'll just split up, we'll get divorced. If it doesn't work, it's not a big deal. Or they think that marriage will fix other issues that are going on in the relationship. I think that happens a lot too. Maybe someone is hunting around for happiness or something is missing in their life, and then they end up diving into marriage thinking that that's the missing piece when it wasn't. There's other underlying issues, and then, you know what? Things aren't as happy as you would like them to be. I'm actually going to do a show on this, talking about this topic in depth. If you remember my good friend TJ, he was on the show, I don't know, probably a year and a half ago or so. Well, you can probably guess, yeah, he got divorced. Him and his wife, now ex-wife, they're done. So we're kind of just going to go through and talk about that in depth and see what we can kind of glean from his experience and just talk about marriage and divorce and all the ins and outs of that stuff. So look forward to that here. I don't know. I've been doing shows about once every 2 weeks, so maybe in the next month or so I'll get that one out there. But yes, take your time finding a partner. Take your time really getting to know someone. Their ins and outs. Make sure you have the same or some of the same values, that you're not at odds about a lot of stuff, that you're not at each end of this, you know, spectrum on certain issues. Also, get to know her family too. I think that's a huge point. Make sure you know them, you know what that dynamic is like, that you also get along with them. I think that's a good point as well. But like I said, we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. All right, number two, regret. Not resolving a family estrangement. You know, estrangement, that word, it makes me think of Jada Pinkett's entanglement word that she used a lot a while back. Entanglement, that's when she actually dated her son's friend who was quite a bit younger than her. But odd situation. But that's another reason to choose your partner wisely, I guess. Anyways, Pilmer says, some of the unhappiest elders he met were the ones that had their family fall apart and they no longer had contact with their kids or whoever. He says almost all wished that they had reconciled or tried harder to reconcile. Swallow the pride. Ask for forgiveness. Try to communicate and apologize if you need to before it's too late. And I imagine that's probably something some of these older people think about on a daily basis, that relationship that is no longer, that longing to talk to your son or your daughter or your brother or something like that. It's kind of sad when you think about it. He mentions the my way or the highway kind of saying that's often thrown around. Well, you may think that it's right when your kid is 15 or 18 or even 25. They're, hey, my way or the highway. Give them this ultimatum, but what happens after that? What happens to the relationship when your ultimatum backfires? It's severed, right? It's gone. It's just blown up in your face. And then what? Then you're on damage control. Then you're trying to fix it. Or you're so angry that they didn't do what you asked them to do. Or you think your 18 or 25-year-old kid is still a child and can't make decisions on their own, you're so angry that you don't want to talk to them. And then time goes on. And then what happens, you know? He said it seems pretty dumb to think about the my way, the highway saying when you're old. It may be relevant when you're younger and your kid's that young age, but then when you're 85 and your kid is 45, you know, it may seem really stupid that you said that or that it went that way, or maybe that it went that long being damaged, you know? So he said, if it's in within your power to resolve it, be it with your kid, your parent, or maybe your best friend or something, do whatever you can to repair it. Just put pride aside, swallow it, and just try to make stuff right. I think that's kind of where it gets into with making amends before you go on, before you die. You know, a lot of people want to do that. I had a neighbor that wanted to do that. I probably talked about her on here before. Miss Rose, my neighbor. Oh, man, she was a handful. She hated me. She called the cops on me. She called the cops on my dog. It was a mess. But once she was diagnosed with brain cancer and she had literally 4 weeks to live, who came over or who flagged me down when I walked in front of her house to talk to me? Rose did. And she wanted to make amends and she apologized and everything else. And she wanted to, even with me, I had only known her for 6 months. She wanted to make things right with me before she passed away. So that's kind of an interesting tidbit there. All right, number three here, putting off saying how you feel. That's a big regret with a lot of these older people. Carl says, this is a big regret of older men, not expressing their love for their wives. Okay, I get that. He said, it could be anything you feel strongly about, but you hesitate to bring up. So tell your wife that you love her. Tell her she looks sexy in those pants. Take her out to dinner. Tell her you're buying a hot rod. Tell her you're buying a boat. You know what I mean? Tell her how much you guys need those things, right? I'm making a joke here. If you feel guilty or you feel bad about something, let that person know. Tell that boss you hate to fuck off, right? Well, okay, I guess if you're leaving the job, then you can say that to your the boss that you may not see eye to eye with, but you get the point. All right, number four, not traveling enough. Aha, there it is. I knew it was going to be on here. I didn't think it would be number four, though. I figured it'd be number one or something. Anyways, we have a finite time to travel. Would you agree? I would agree. When you're 85, when we're 85, we may not be able to travel. When we're 65, we may not be able-bodied enough to take that hike in Alaska or go scuba dive in Florida or be able to sit on a plane for multiple flights. You know, that's freaking miserable as it is, having connections and in airports for hours and sitting for hours. Your body may not be able to do that. And that's just the sad truth. He said people often put big trips off until retirement, but by the time they retire, their health is not good enough to be able to go where they want to go. And that sucks. So, like my Texas trip, go do that. Go see stuff. Travel doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be far away. I've heard of people my age never going or never flying on a commercial flight. And that seems absolute batshit crazy to me that they're okay with that, that they haven't even explored in their own country. You know what I mean? That just seems so crazy. And I know I'm not talking about money or people can't afford it or whatever else. I'm just talking about travel, okay? I'm not getting into all the ins and outs of why people don't travel. That's not really my business. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you got to do it. You just got to get out there and do it. So the elder advice on number four here is they say travel should take precedent over other things you spend money on. And do it when you're able to. Do it as soon as you can. Just freaking go. Just go. They say if you have a choice between a home remodel or taking a trip somewhere, one woman said, take the trip. Easy as that. Deal with your old kitchen countertops if it means go on a trip. Which, yes, I have a hard time getting my head around that sometimes about, oh, well, why would I spend $5,000 on a trip and experience when I should spend $5,000 and fix up my kitchen? Or I should spend $5,000 and put it down on a new truck. Stuff like that. Tangible things instead of experiences. Yes, I do. I'll admit it. I have a hard time coping with that. But I kind of see where they're coming from. That when you're old, are you going to give a crap about that remodeled kitchen and the house that you may not live in anymore? When you're old, are you going to care about those things? Are you going to care about the truck that you have for a couple of years and it's going to get replaced in 10 years anyways or 5 years anyways? It doesn't really matter, right? But the trip is kind of one of those things that you're going to look back on and be like, man, I really wish I went to the Bahamas and I never did. Or I wish I went and saw Mount Rushmore. Or Niagara Falls, whatever. So I see the point, and I kind of am starting to understand it the older I get. All right, number five, the regret of spending too much time worrying. Okay, I see it. I get it. Well, if you spend all your money on travel and worry about other expenses, then maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you're worrying, because you blew all your money going to the Bahamas. But anyways, just kidding. The old people, the elders on this one said, life's too short to spend it on mindless, self-destructive worrying that people tend to get into. We all do this. We all do. It's a matter of fact that we all worry. We all probably worry too much, and apparently we'll regret it, according to these older men and women that Carl talked to. Worrying about stupid shit all the time, even things that we can't control, that's something that I'm trying to work on myself. Don't worry about the things you can't control. Don't worry about what others think. Don't worry about other things that are out of your power to do anything about. Probably easier said than done, though. Am I right? Anyways, number six. Old people regret not being honest, this article says. Okay? I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one. We know honest is a good policy. That's what they say. That's what we teach our kids. Lying and being deceitful to others apparently really eats at you when you get old and you reflect back, though. So, yeah, pretty simple. Try to be honest. Try to be open. Don't be a liar. I don't really have much to say here. Is what it is. All right, number seven. Not taking career chances. You know, I can kind of understand this one big time. I think a lot of people can. Complacency is a bitch, I tell you. It is a pain. Many of the old people Carl talked to said they regretted not taking opportunities because of fear. I imagine fear of the unknown, right? Fear of leaving a comfortable position. Fear of many things. Fear of getting fired at the new job. Fear of not jiving with your new coworkers. Who knows what it is? I stayed at a lot of jobs much longer than I should have. Or I at least should have asked for more pay, more responsibility, more advancement. But it's scary switching jobs. It's scary getting into new careers. I'll be honest. I hated it every time I did it. It's like a little bird leaving the nest, you know? Like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I'm gonna fail. This isn't gonna go well. That's always what kind of goes through your head. You know, funny thing is we always tell kids to have positive thoughts, those self-affirmations, yet look at what adults do all the time. Like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm never going to do this. Like, I'm going to suck, blah, blah, blah. It's funny how we teach that to our kids to not talk that way, yet we talk that way about ourselves all the time. I think that's just an interesting thing I just thought about. But you know what, too? You leave a job on good terms and you blow the new job. What can you do? You can always go back to your old job. I did that once, too. I worked a construction job. I liked it, but I wanted to chase a girl. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go chase a girl. And you know, that girl is now my wife. So that worked out. That's good. But I left that job. I left it. I went. I played around. I went to the state that my now wife was living in for college. I had fun. We hung out, partied, did all that stuff, dated. And I came back 4 months later and talked to my boss, who I got along with really, really well. And I picked up my job right where I left off. So anyways, the elder's advice here is to have a yes bias. Always say yes to opportunity. Try something new. Don't get complacent and stick yourself into this box of comfortability and continue to just exist. There's a lot of things to do. Believe me, like, I'm at a point right now where I'm a stay-at-home dad and my kids are now in school, so now I need to start figuring out what I'm going to do to bring in some money, essentially. So, yeah, I'm looking at my options. I'm figuring out what I want to do. I'm also 41 years old, so that's great on a resume that I'm a 41-year-old unemployed man. But, yeah, it's scary getting into new stuff and changing direction and figuring all this out. You know, I feel like an 18-year-old kid again. It's kind of wild. All right, number eight, the last one in our saga today, is old people regret not taking care of their bodies. Yeah, I can imagine that is a hard thing to accept when you start to get older and your body starts to fail you and it doesn't really work the way it used to. Me being 41 years old, I've experienced that now with knee issues and shoulders and joints and all these other things, and it's a hard pill to swallow, that's for sure. Carl says older people who smoked or didn't exercise or became obese were regretful about it, but the only issue isn't just dying. He said the main issue is the 10 or 20 years of being stuck with some chronic disease and pills and doctors that are keeping you alive. And what quality of life is that? You know, you've made decisions and you've made choices and you didn't take care of yourself in other years when it was important to, and now those things are coming back to haunt you. But it's not like it just kills you. They like linger, right? And you have all these things going on. And I think that's what people don't really think about. It's not just, oh, my bad behavior is going to kill me sooner. Oh, the cigarette I'm going to smoke takes 8 minutes off my life. No, it's the living the shitty life plagued with health issues is what is going to be the, you know, downfall, I guess. It's not just smoking the cigarette's going to kill you sooner. It's, oh, now I have lung cancer, or now I have COPD, or some other health condition that is this chronic disease you live with the rest of your days, you know, or rest of your years. So, interesting things there. Interesting things, for sure. And, you know, I've been saying the term YOLO lately. You only live once. You know, like they did years ago. The kids did it when they would do dumb shit. But all in all, it's kind of true. It is really true. You only live once. And that saying can go both ways, too. Do what you want. Don't live with regrets, or have less regrets anyways. Take some risks. I think people don't take enough risks sometimes, and they're too cautious, and they kind of miss out on some things because they didn't risk doing some of the things that they wanted to do. But also, don't do super stupid shit that harms yourself, and honestly, you may regret that later in life. And it kind of makes me think about motorcycle guys. You know, they do the stunts and they do wheelies and they break bones and they tear up their bodies. Do you think they regret those actions 30, 40 years later? I don't think they do. I'm going to bet that they don't, because that was just kind of part of living. So that's just what they're into. And I'm 40, and sometimes I get into this mindset of regret, thinking, man, I should have done this or that differently when I was 20 or 30. And I really need to tell myself, hey, bro, you're only 40. You have tons of years left to do some of these things, to experience life differently, to travel different places, to do some of these things you want to do. And I think that's a message that a lot of us need to hear, at least a lot of people that are in their 30s and 40s and maybe even 50. Yeah, maybe I did squander 20 years of my life with jobs and not working great jobs and not doing certain things and making certain choices and yada, yada, yada. But I'm not dead yet. I'm 40 years old. I've got 40 years more to go, 50 years more to go. You know what I mean? Especially if you take care of yourself and you eat healthy and you get some moderate exercise in, I'm not dead yet. That's what I need to remember. I've heard this clip on social media a bunch of times, and it just kind of, I don't know, it kind of puts things into some perspective and maybe helps you when you're thinking about all this stuff. And it goes to the effect of, pretend you're an old person in the future. You're on your deathbed. You're looking back and you're thinking about your life and what you've done and accomplished and what you regret as well. Now, in a moment, in a flash, you go back 30, 40 years to today, to right now. You were just thinking about all those things that you missed, all those things that you regret, all those things you wanted to do or moments you wished you cherished a bit more. Well, you just flash back to your middle age, and now this is like your chance, right? Would you have a different outlook and mindset after experiencing that? Would that change how you think about things now? Are you going to kiss your wife a little differently, hug your kids a bit more? Are you going to express interest in their basketball game or their artwork they brought home from school? Are you going to not worry so much about menial bullshit in life? not stress about work so much, appreciate things a little more. You know, I don't know. I sure hope you would. I sure hope that it would change kind of your outlook. So, I don't know. Just think about that a little bit. All right, that's it for this episode of Stay Home Dad's podcast. Let's just think about all these points that these elderly people made and what they regret looking back, and try to make sure that we don't end up feeling exactly the same way when we're their age, all right? Let's try to do that. Also, lastly, if there's anything that you regret right now at whatever age you are, you're probably going to regret that same thing when you're 65, 75, 85, 105 years old, okay? So take note of what you regret right now. You can change it. Do you regret some of those things I talked about? Change it. You have that power to do that, so then you don't feel this way when you're that older age. If you want to spend more time with your kids, if you want to travel more, if you want to go on more date nights with your spouse, if you want to start that business, do it. You have a lot of time. You're going to regret it when you're older, so you might as well jump on board right now. Just do it. Just do it. The way Arnold would say, just do it. Does he say that? Do it. Yeah, he does. He says, do it. Do it now. Do it. Kill me. Do it now. Yeah, that's Arnold. Okay. Anyways, if you have any questions for me, hit me up at podbean.com or on Instagram at stayhomedads_podcast and let me know. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks again for listening. Thanks again for downloading the show, and I will talk to you all next time.